Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, with an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team even scores a point. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use code KSN, bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. I think that's a pretty safe bet for you. So that's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's T. Frank Carr. He's the guy who watches the film. He's the guy with all the answers. And T. Frank, are you ready for all the questions?
I love that intro. Yes. Let's just run with it. Yes, I have all the answers. I have all of the answers. I definitely know what's going to happen, and I can tell you whether you should be happy or sad on Saturday.
All right. So let's start with this, T. Frank. And you know we got to start here. I've warned you. This is where I'm going to start. The running game, and 24-0 win. Everybody's happy about that.
Are they?
Todd Blackledge spent most of the game telling us the running game had improved. Did it?
Yeah, parts of it. There are parts that were better. The tight ends were better at blocking. The offensive line had a couple of plays where they legitimately played as a unit and were in sync. The 44-yard run by Kevon Lee, that was a good block. I mean, you got two guys coming on pull blocks on counterplay, and they both hit their assignment. And then you've got Caden Wallace working at the second level. He seals off Micah McFadden for long enough to break the running back into the open field. And, you know, Indiana is not an overwhelmingly talented defense, but they are a very good defense. So you can beat them from time to time, and Penn State beat them from time to time if your assignment sound, and they had plays where they did that. So, yeah, I don't think that the rushing totals were a complete mirage like some people are leading you to believe as of today. They did improve, and James Franklin said it afterwards. I'm going to take the positive approach and say that we took a step forward this game, and you know I think that there's some truth to that. But in the end, this is never going to be a running team. So you're never going to be totally satisfied with the job that they do. That's going to be the end-all be-all of it, is what are you honestly expecting? What should you reasonably expect out of this football team? And there's a certain percentage of this conversation that is, we're just going to have it all year.
Well, the part to it, T. Frank, that concerns me is the short yardage situation. By my count, there were five times when this team had either third or fourth down in short to convert for the first down, meaning one or I think maybe even 2 yards. Five times, and they were 0 for 5 in converting. That concerns me more than how impressed I was that once or twice Kevon Lee got free for a long run. I think I would give up that 144-yard run.
No. Do not say that.
If you can't convert on third down, is that not a turnover?
Chunk plays lead to points. Explosive plays are what you're trying to do. And this rushing attack for the first month of the season had zero explosive running plays from the running backs proper. They got two, if not three, in that game. I don't have the exact count in front of me, but they were, I believe they got two or three. 8 carries for 144 yards. That, if you can get that out of your running game, that provides enough of a threat that it keeps your passing game on balance. Yes, the third down conversions are something you want to clean up. But there's more than one way to do that. And Penn State has converted third and medium. They converted a fourth and seven by passing the football. There was one third and short where they threw the ball and there was pressure and it was open, but you couldn't connect on that. There's multiple ways to get that third down. Penn State has not had a running attack that has had any sort of explosiveness. This has been the one thing I've talked about of they've never been efficient. They've always been bad on third and short, like almost always. They continually, it's been a recurring theme for this football team, even with Saquon Barkley. But Saquon Barkley could take one 60 yards to the house, and you had to load the box. If Penn State can provide some sort of threat of a big play out of their running attack consistently, this will be a very dangerous offense. That's what they need.
All right, so you're coaching, you're taking over for Mike Yurcich, you're playing Iowa, and you're confronted with third and one. What are you doing?
First off, I've got to call up Mike Yurcich and ask how to read his play sheet. That's the first thing I'm going to do. Iowa is Iowa, so you're going to be facing 700 pounds of defensive linemen on the interior, and they're going to be quick, and they're going to be strong. So if you think you're going to play their game, you're playing into their hands. Don't do that. You have to be able to be sound on the edges of the box, but if you can get them running laterally, that's a good way to attack. That's one way Maryland got a couple of good plays on third and short. I think the quarterback is going to be a part of this conversation as well, and not quarterback power. We're not talking about running up the middle. We're not talking about running to the strength of the defense. We're talking about attacking the edges appropriately. And that's going to be something that Penn State needs to be able to do. And that goes back to our conversation about the tight ends and the perimeter blocking, receivers blocking. And I was going to be ready for it. Like, they're going to have guys in the flat that are ready to trigger downhill. So you need to have some sound running plays to the edge and then something to play off of that, where you can get them to be aggressive underneath, trigger downhill, and then you either throw a pass over top or you have, a speed option or something like that. You need to have some good plan of attack on the perimeter, because if you want to run between the tackles, you don't want to do it on third down. That's what they want you to do. And that's what I think a lot of fans would say of, well, we need to be good at X. Penn State is not going to be good at X this year. They don't have the interior of the offensive line to do that. And that's going to be a big thing for Penn State, is can they use their athleticism in space to take advantage of some bigger, stronger, but maybe not as athletic Iowa players?
And I think that in talking to Penn State fans, I think the issue becomes, okay, it's third and one. We should be able to make that first down. If it's not running up the middle between the tackles, should we run wide? Should we pass the ball? How do we convert, though, on third and one? And how do we convert on that four-minute offense at the end of the game when you're leading Iowa 21-17 and you have the ball with 4 minutes to go? Well, and your challenge is the clock more than
you remember how Penn State did that 2 years ago. And that
with Noah Cain.
Yes, that they are struggling. This is what it is. They fundamentally, they're probably not a great run blocking team, but they have enough guys that aren't bad at football that they can execute a blocking scheme enough times to be competent. The problem is when those mistakes happen, and on every play, there's one mistake or two mistakes. Regardless of whether you're good or not, even Iowa has mistakes on plays, in running plays. But is there anybody that is overwhelmingly talented enough to make up for those mistakes? Whether it's an offensive lineman, whether it's Rashid Walker blowing up a giant hole, or whether it's Juice Scruggs being so athletic that he jumps two gaps and gets a guy that, is a really tough assignment, or if it's the tailback making up for some of those missed blocks. Right now, Kevon Lee has some strengths to his game. He has some great qualities, and when he's on, he is a dangerous threat. But one thing he is not, and he has not proven this to me at any point so far, is that he's not a power back. He has a high pad level. He does not run great through contact at the line of scrimmage, and he's not decisive. His vision needs to improve in these situations. And what they're missing with Noah Kane is he's got the vision, he's got the footwork, he's got the patience, but the minute you contact him, he has no lower body strength because of the injuries over time and the current injury right now. So if they had a running back that could convert these third and ones by getting 2.5 yards, they wouldn't have this problem, but they're in a situation where they don't. There's no guy currently on the roster that has the combination of skills and health to make that a reality. So you do have to find a workaround, and this is where Mike Yurcich is a creative coach, and he's a guy that has been trying multiple things. You cannot say that they have not tried multiple ways to get third and manageable converted. They're still working on that. And I do think they're talented enough. It's going to be a matter of time before they get enough of those to put together a successful game in general. But let's not pretend like this offense also isn't going on long drives. Yes, sometimes they stall out. They don't always go 7 plays. But they have multiple drives this year of 9 plays, 12 plays, 13 plays. And they're scoring points on those, unlike last season. So this is not an inept offense, even with third down issues.
And I was a little bit surprised. The narrative again on that game was, oh, Penn State's all about the explosive plays. They've been marching the ball down the field. If you took away the long pass over the top, they've been able to do the short passing game and march the ball down the field. Now, using that as a segue to that portion of the offense, I thought it was very good that Sean Clifford did not have his best game this week, but that was still very productive.
Yeah.
I actually take that as a good sign.
Yeah, yeah. He has shown a way to win in multiple situations this year. And I said this on my post-game show. It's like the SATs when you go up against Tom Allen. And there are coverage schemes and there are situations that they put their defensive backs in that you just don't see anywhere else. Most colleges run pretty simple, basic coverages. They'll try and disguise them a little bit, but they don't do anything crazy. There's some advanced level stuff that Indiana does. Now, should Penn State have been able to beat that with their fifth-year quarterback? Yes, but Sean Clifford threw an early interception. He got a little greedy. He got a little forceful with the football. And then after that, he was just conservative. So he did not put the ball up if he wasn't sure. And Penn State was a good enough team that they won 24-0. So if that's the narrative going into a game against an Iowa team that thrives on turning the ball over, and Sean Clifford is not going to do that, you've already leveled the playing field. And I think you're right that when in that situation, Penn State still scored a touchdown in every single quarter except for the fourth quarter, and they missed that by 1 yard.
Exactly, and we're going to use this as a segue to quarter number two when we're going to talk about Iowa and what the keys are to winning there. And I think you just talked about it with Sean Clifford not making those turnovers. Stick around. We'll get into details in quarter number two.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.